Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 190. I've written five, but I think it's six, Tom. I'm going to double check. We're going to do a quick fact check because I'm pretty sure last week.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, I feel like what I've done is I've checked and then written the number of the last episode. Yeah, this is episode 196. I knew when I was saying it was wrong. 196.
Time is just a construct anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so when you try and talk about time like that, it's kind of like when you try and talk about how big the universe is. And you're like, No, it's too big. I can't.
Unfathomable.
Yeah, oh, that's a good word. Indubitably. Good word. Indubitably.
Getting ready for the next Matrix.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, which is coming out December, definitely. It won't be.
It won't. I've got a few news stories. No trailers this week. Didn't watch much. Didn't see if there was much out there. But a couple of stuff to talk about. Walking Dead. Surprise twists coming. Stay tuned.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
And let me just check him. I've got something in my pocket to bust out later as well.
I think I know what it is. That's very, very exciting.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Cool Beverages. Whether they be alcoholic or non-alcoholic, with ice or straight from the refrigerator, they hit the spot, do the trick, and make you go, ah. The exhibition at the Super Chic Art Gallery of Rusty Gates will be extended another month. The overwhelming success has led to massive lines, both down the footpath and virtually to grab a ticket, and this means that many have missed out. Head curator Velma Hudson said with the extra month and longer opening hours, all of Watchersville and surrounds will have the opportunity to visually and audibly enjoy the squeaks, croaks, metal-on-metal scratching of these amazing works of Rusty Gate art. It's Ken Baker who's been leaving sourdough starters on people's front doorsteps. Residents all over the town have been confused upon discovering a jar of weird bubbly beige stuff on their welcome mats. Ken said he's got out of control one night and took over the spare room. So he grabbed a heap of empty jars and started shoveling it in. He then thought others might like to make so much bread they don't know what to do with it, just like him. Thanks, Ken. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Well, I've got some news stories. I've watched a couple of things. So let's just get into this news because the first thing I saw that I thought you might be really interested in, I don't know, though. I feel like we've spoken about The Rocketeer before, as in the movie, the movie from 91. Well, Disney Plus are rebooting it. They'll be calling it The Return of The Rocketeer. And the guy who wrote movies like Now You Can See Me and Netflix's Jessica Jones and Raising Dion will be writing it. He's written it, I should say. His name is Ed Ricourt. Ed Ricourt? Maybe R.I. Court?
Ed.
Okay. Ed will be writing it, so that's very exciting. So you can
I do love a bit of Rocketeer.
Yeah, and I think because it's coming to Disney Plus, everybody's going to watch it.
Yeah, easy peasy.
Now, that was based on a comic book, wasn't it?
It is, and it's got that sort of old school feel of your Phantom or, you know, it was before superheroes were a thing.
Yep.
You know, it was Men and Their Marvelous Machines or that sort of thinking. So, yeah, he was just a guy with a jetpack strapped to his back and lots of shenanigans involving barns and things.
I wonder if they try and go down the original Captain America kind of feel as well, like try and capture that audience.
You know what's funny is that Joe Johnston, who directed Captain America, the one set in the 50s, it was the 40s, he directed The Rocketeer, and that's how he got the gig for Captain America. So I imagine that they will try and recreate that feeling.
Mm.
You know, it's the old school Indiana Jones, whatever. I think they call it the Saturday afternoon serial.
Yeah, right.
Type feel. I hope it's that, you know, very vibrant, almost saturated colours.
Lots of fun, feel good. Obviously, because it's on Disney, we're going to get something that is for the whole family to watch. I feel like that is the kind of show or movie, I should say, that sits really well there.
Yep. Yep. Perfect. Love it.
What have you got on offer today?
Well, I've got a two-prong thing about most watched.
Mm-hmm.
Bo-bo. Number one, we spoke about it plenty last week, so we won't go into it, but the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer was the most watched trailer ever. very, very quickly, and in the, you know, huge first 24 hours, but it's had long legs, people going back to watch it again and again, and that's great. As an addendum to that point of big, it's looking like the runtime for this movie is going to be the only ones longer than it in the Marvel universe will be Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. So this is going to be a big film.
Gee.
But the other record thing was Suicide Squad is now the most watched DC film on HBO Max, which is very interesting because it severely underperformed at the box office. I'm going to say because of everything. Everyone, I'm gesturing wildly at all this.
Yes, yes.
But streaming wise, it's absolutely crushed Zack Snyder's redo of Justice League, which was the big thing, you know, that they pretty much launched with it, spent $70 million extra on doing this director's cut, reshooting stuff and things like that. And in the space of about 2 weeks, Suicide Squad just crushed it.
I wonder if that's because the Justice League Snyder cut, it was a movie that people had already seen. The people who had already seen it, who were fans, were of course going to watch it. But the people who had already seen it that were like, you know what? I don't want to sit through a different version of it.
I'm not doing a 4-hour version of a film I already hated.
Yeah, so no, 4 hours, like, really super daunting compared to, I don't know how long Suicide Squad was, but no one said it's long.
I don't think it's even 2 hours.
Yeah.
It does not waste time. The characters are fun and it's enjoyable spending time with them rather than everyone moping around, which is Justice League. You know, circumstances mean that it didn't perform well at the cinemas, but it's always going to have that kind of footnote to it. You know, there's an asterisk against its performance.
Yeah.
But if you actually measure it up online, it's done really, really well. Hopefully they make another one.
Yeah, I was about to say that could bode very well. Speaking of things that went really well, I mean, you watched it. I was so tempted to watch it over the weekend, but I got sidetracked watching other things. But Jungle Cruise has made over $100 million in the American box office. They're making a sequel. They've already got The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Emily Blunt's already there. Michael Green, who co-wrote Jungle Cruise, he's going to write the script. Also, Michael Green, just a little quick side note, he also has written the adaptation of Agatha Christie's mystery Death on the Nile. They're doing a remake. I think it's coming out next year. The reason I'm talking about it, I mean, it's got heaps of people like Gal Gadot and Kenneth Branagh, but it's also got Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French in it, which I'm really looking forward to because they're in scenes together. So that's what I'm going to watch on Disney next.
Nice. Sounds like this dude's got a bit of a hankering for boats.
For boats, a bit of fun too, like those sort of what you were talking about, like those Saturday afternoon
serial.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. The Rock has referred to it at every point as his new franchise. He's never called this a movie. It's been about building a new franchise. That's what he does. He's franchise steroids.
I watched that episode of, I can't remember the show, the name of the show about the on Disney where they talk about the different rides.
Behind the Attraction.
Yeah, I watched I've watched a few, but I watched, because it's the first one, the Jungle Cruise one, and yeah, it was interesting the way that they did position him and how he was talking about it.
Oh, this is a passion thing for him.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. They've just added 5 more episodes to Behind the Attraction.
Cool.
It's on the like the monorail, Disneyland Hotel, It's a Small World, a couple of others. It's all great, great stuff. Stay tuned, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I sat down and watched a few over the course of a few nights, and it's just nice, like, cozy stuff as well. If you want to watch something where you feel like you're learning something but doesn't really matter as well.
Oh, I watched the Tower of Terror episode with Shay, and before that, she's like, I'm never going on that ride. It's called Tower of Terror. I don't want to go on this.
Yeah, fair.
And then by the end of the episode, where they've reskinned it and it's now Guardians of the Galaxy Breakout and it's a party, she's like, I want to go on that. That looks great. There. It's a lick of paint. They've just put a lick of paint on and changed the songs.
Well, it's clearly working for them.
It's good branding.
If she's keen.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, shoes, and we are the Watchers, sweetie darling.
From news that isn't really news and should shock no one, but I thought it important to share with all of you, I saw a list on BuzzFeed of people that are pro-vax and anti-vax. And of one name was on the anti-vax list that I haven't heard in many years. It made me just go, yeah. Straight away, no second. Rob Schneider is anti-vax. Rob Schneider, Adam Sandler's probably now ex-friend. I don't know. He hasn't done as many Sandler projects lately. He doesn't pop up and go, "You can do it," dumb shit anymore.
Well, I was about to say, oh, I haven't seen him in anything for ages, but I don't think I search the circles of film or TV shows that he's going to be in anyway.
He had a sitcom for a hot minute there called Rob.
That's catchy.
That sets the bar for the level of creativity and investment.
That's okay. That's all. Yeah, right. All right. So
anyone who is cancelling people or avoiding, feel safe to continue avoiding the works of Rob Schneider.
That's a good heads up. Thank you very much. Look, speaking of things that don't really pop up on our periphery or radar or whatever, the Netflix show You, I watched some of the first season and it just didn't grab me. I don't know. There was something about the main character. I know he's not a likable character in that he stalks people and whatnot, but I was just like, nah. Anyway, third season of You is coming to Netflix on the 15th of October. They released a little teaser trailer, and I haven't been watching it. It was all about the making of a birthday cake for his soon to be child, his soon to be son, and he's named his son Henry. And I'm like, wow, I've really missed out on a whole heap of this. I had no idea that he was anywhere near in a relationship that was he wasn't going to kill people. But they're still grabbing hold of those books because, you know, he loves books, he had bookshop and stuff like that. So he said that his son will be surrounded by books his whole life. So yeah, get pumped if you're into You. It's coming out soon.
There you go. They should do a crossover with Scarlett Johansson voicing a phone, You and Her.
Yes, You and Her, that'd be brilliant.
She can stalk Siri.
Well, did she get a little stalkery? She got
too into him.
She got too much. Yeah, she was just a bit too much at one point. Yeah, that's
a bit
right.
Too much. Look, Netflix again. Stepping in, saving things. You know, they've recently seems they've tried to move away from that sort of position they had of, you know, where other shows go to get one more three episodes before they die or something like that. But they keep bringing Lucifer back and things like that. So Manifest has been a huge hit for them, which had done three seasons on NBC. Now Manifest is about a flight that disappears in the air and suddenly lands 5 years later. And to everyone on the flight, they were just on a flight.
That's right. They didn't know. That's right. Yeah.
So I watched the first episode. It was real good. I watched the second episode. It was not. No. So I didn't stick with the show, but it went through three seasons. From what I hear, and I don't know if it gets very religious.
Okay.
It gets very, there's no science explanation for what did this.
Right.
It's not aliens. It might be God.
Yeah, right.
Something along those lines. I don't know. But it's been a monster hit for Netflix. So much so that they feature it in the top carousel and stuff, which is not something they don't do for things that aren't original content made. So there's been a lot of talk as to whether or not they would save the series. It got cancelled maybe last year or something like that. It's been off for a while. And Netflix were like, no. Apparently it's been such a monster hit that they're bringing it back for 20 more episodes.
Jeez. Yeah. That's like old-fashioned season lengths. 20.
Well, that's the season length it was doing because they were on NBC.
Right, okay. You know, yeah.
Broadcast length seasons. And it's not a small cast. You know, this show is it's a lost clone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's 4,400. There's been plenty of shows like that, and that's kind of what this is, intersection between the two.
Mm.
Very large cast. From what I understand, most of the major cast have already signed contracts to come back, worked out new stuff. So
that's
well done.
Good. Yeah, that's great.
It feels like a campaign effort from a few years ago where people would like send bags of nuts or things like that to the to the station. Like, no, don't take our show away.
I feel like people still try and do that, but it's more like threaten people online instead.
I still want Jericho to come back, which is Skeet Ulrich.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You know, there are shows I'd love to come back, but they're past. They're gone.
That show I got like a press pack of, I don't know, like a Jericho notebook, you know, that kind of thing.
Ooh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's, I never actually watched it, but I remember it being a thing just because of that. I feel like if you're going to have three seasons of 20 episode a season, it's like that's 60 episodes of a show. I mean, that's a lot, but also if you do end up getting through the second or third episode of the first season, whoa, have you got a lot of great stuff ahead for you. You're like, that's so much watching. There's so many hours of just indulging.
Yep, and it's brilliant because it's Netflix and it's been such a hit for them, they'll keep paying for it to stay on there, presumably, especially if they make this extra season. Then they don't need to get 100 episodes of syndication because they've bought the streaming rights and it doesn't matter about online, about broadcasting.
Isn't that funny? It's all changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of things that are getting picked up and whatnot, I saw that the CW have given a straight to series order for Tom Swift, which is the spin-off of Nancy Drew. They were, Tom Swift were books as well. I didn't read them, but I knew that they existed. Now I'm trying to think if the Tom Swift books must have been spin-offs of Nancy Drew books as well. I think, but the TV show is definitely a spin-off of the TV show Nancy Drew.
Sure.
The character Tom Swift actually appeared in a Nancy Drew episode called Celestial Visitor. So it's all like starting to merge and get in. So Tom Swift is about a black gay billionaire inventor who is thrust into a world of sci-fi conspiracy and unexplained phenomena after the shocking disappearance of his father. So, you know, he goes out on road trips trying to unravel truth and mysteries, and it sounds like a lot of fun. But I'm also a little bit worried that in the world of people really getting into real life conspiracy theories, that they're going to watch this and try and find the actual truth in stuff.
that episode description you gave is very CW.
Very CW. A CW take on The X-Files, I thought. It kind of feels like that. You know, each episode maybe a little bit different, tackling a new weird thing. Yeah.
And squarely aimed at woke 15-year-olds.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Like, stuff everyone older, if that's not your bag. Make young people make content.
You. Yeah, absolutely.
Good messaging.
Yeah, so I'm not sure when it's coming out, but I assume it won't be too far off if he's already appeared in one Nancy Drew episode.
Hopefully it will be swiftly.
You're all right. It's okay. You tried.
It's all right.
Yeah.
And they would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So I mentioned this a little while ago that it's launched this week. Warhammer Plus is live, which is, you know, the tiny plastic army men now have their own subscription-based service. And this is, it's ridiculous that this is a thing. Lego does not have this. Other big brands and stuff. Now, you might be thinking, Games Workshop, they're not that big. Last year, they made more money than the entire UK fishing industry.
Holy dooly.
Yeah, they're one of the biggest producers of hobby material in the world. And obviously last year, this year, been very good for them.
Hmm.
So they're also very notoriously litigious with their IP and will bring the banhammer down on things that are overstepping the mark or using things wrong. Now, over the last 12 months, they've basically been hiring up anyone that was a really, really good animator making stuff, fan art and things
passion project.
They've been hiring them up. And we didn't know for a long time what it was. And then a few months ago, they revealed this Warhammer Plus. So everyone put two and two together. And sure enough, when it launched this week, some people that had been doing free animations in the past are now part of animation studios.
That's
and have
so cool.
bigger budgets and things to work with. And it's very cool. And it feels like, so a few people, I think it was $99 for a year for 12 months in Australia.
Yep. Sounds a bit like Disney sort of, I think.
Yes. The same sort of thing. And you get access to like 200 previous magazines. They put out videos each week of which there's one to two episodes of animation. And it's not like a 2 minute animation, which I wasn't expecting. It was like a full 23 minute episode of hardcore anime future war people getting cut up and all this. Chainsaws.
Like Doom.
The only thing more metal than a chainsaw is a chainsword.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. They've got some of that. And then there's some really involved detailed painting guides. There's battle reports. So people playing games and they filmed it and they got very creative with the angles they're using and this sort of stuff. And I don't know. It's pretty good. The other part that was pretty sweet is that if you do the sign up for 12 months, there's two exclusive models. You get to pick one for free. And it's a model that would be at least $60 if you were buying it.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
So it works out as a pretty good deal. It feels like when Disney Plus launched, how there was like one or two new things and lots of stuff that you could have seen on Netflix a few months ago. But it feels like 3 to 6 months from now, it's going to be churning along and pretty cool. So it's a very niche thing. There might be a handful of listeners who are interested in that. But it's even if you just go for the month and
test it out, have a look.
I don't know. I'm pretty happy with it.
I'm pretty sure you and Henry Cavill have both got your subscriptions sort of for the whole year. But like the whole thing about that world, not even world universe, is that the lore is like so deep, so intricate.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's so much for them to work with and on.
And that's the brilliant thing because plenty of people make battle reports and film their games and talk about and stuff. But not many people can make battle reports on the profession, like the scenery made by the professionals with lighting experts, and it's being narrated by people who have a hand in writing the lore and the background and the rules.
Mm.
So it's like the guys running it are super into making it fun. Mm. So these battle videos are like they get a bit of drama in there and stuff.
Nice.
They've been at this for a while. They know what they're doing. And to step up and go premium and ask to pay for it and stuff, you can see the production value in there over what other people do at home or even small studios and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if we're going to see more and more niche subscription services for sure. We know this.
Yeah.
But this is pretty left field, like tiny plastic army men.
It could work. Like, I feel like it's going to work, though, because the people who would be interested – are already so incredibly interested that they don't want to miss out on this stuff.
I watched a 35-minute tutorial last night on painting faces.
Yeah, right.
Painting faces on heads that are a third the width of your thumbnail.
Yeah, okay.
Tiny little details, but it was all about color theory. And it was, I know about the color wheel, but it was all about how if you look at a face, imagine that the forehead is yellow, the eyes down to the top lip are red, and then anything under the bottom lip is blue because of the way shadow works.
Oh, yeah, like, right.
Okay, and then they painted a face to show that, and you're like, oh, my goodness, that's completely right. If you put white underneath that color, then it acts as a natural highlight for any colors you put on. This is science, not art.
I didn't come here for all of this. Don't give me too much.
No, it's good gear.
Speaking of too much, The Expendables 4 will now have Megan Fox, 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, and Tony Jaa's going to be in it. This is a movie I think a lot of people weren't expecting because when you think about The Expendables 3, that came out in 2013.
I worked on the campaign for that, and we made a video game.
Fun?
Yeah. Yeah. A bit on Expendables 2 and then a fair bit on Expendables 3. And it was good fun, but it felt like everyone involved had been expendabled out.
Mm.
So maybe they parked it for a couple of years, waited until they had a good idea. Who knows where they go?
Well, they've still got Jason Statham and Sylvester Stallone. They'll be back as well. I'm not sure what the storyline is or when it's going to come out, but I just saw that and I was like, oh, that's something that I'm sure people will want to have in their periphery there, just like back of your mind.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine is wrapping up, so would have finished filming by now, so Terry Crews would be available. Who would you add? Who's gone big over the last couple of years in action that deserves to be in there? I mean, the obvious two answers is The Rock, and I think he's too big for this
film. He's too big.
He overshadows. Bautista.
Yeah, I think Bautista's a really good pick there. Yeah, Chris Pratt's too big.
Frank Grillo, who you either know who he is, or Scott Adkins, but maybe he was already in it. Scott Adsit from 30 Rock. That would be amazing,
though. I would really get
He should be
that.
The tech guy.
Yeah, every movie needs a tech guy. Come on.
Yeah, stay behind in the van and yell at them. To your left. Not that alley.
The other alley. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about getting Pedro Pascal in there?
Oh, I like that.
He
as a good guy or as a bad guy?
Oh, I was thinking good guy, but bad guy.
Nah, he's ethnically ambiguous enough for Sylvester to kill.
What a sentence. I love it. Yeah, he could be the bad guy now. Yeah, I like that. That's good. So Expendables 4, look out for that. And if any of our ideas came into it, you're welcome.
I'd love it if there was Expendables 4, colon, battling COVID. And it was that team of action heroes teaming up to fight COVID. And then Sean Penn could be the bad guy. Not because he's an anti-vaxxer. He's very pro-vaxxer. But I want to see Sean Penn in one of these action movies as a bad guy.
Yep. Okay, just bear with me on this one, but you've got Sean Penn as like the bad guy, like the head honcho, but like his sidekicks are Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
That's very good.
I can see the three of those just having a really good time doing something that shouldn't make sense but does.
That's very good. And I like Nick Frost is the gunman.
Yeah.
He's the one that gets sent out on the dirty job and gets dispatched first. Simon Pegg is the one that talks too much and gets captured and gives up the information they need. Ooh.
It could work.
It could really work. I like that.
We may be writing Expendables 5 here. I'm not sure. Have you got any other news stories?
No.
Excellent. Have you got anything else then?
Oh, let me have a look. Here we go. It's a fun fact.
Whoa.
Today's fun fact is about the classic film Cool Runnings. I say classic because it is a classic.
It's a classic.
And if you say otherwise, you're a dog.
Or as
Shay would say, you're a dingo, you're a donut.
I watched this a couple of months ago, so it's fresh in my mind. I'm ready to have a fact put in there.
Denzel Washington turned down the role of DeReese.
Oh.
And Eddie Murphy turned down the role of Sunker. Both of them were not interested because of the pay offered.
I don't know how to take any of that.
I got one more in there.
Yeah.
Tupac auditioned and they said no thanks.
Okay. I'm just trying to get like storyline, like timeline.
I don't know what role Tupac auditioned for.
Because the four guys, right? The four guys, I knew one of the guys from Madonna's Like a Prayer. No, the other one. Oh, yeah. I know Dougie Doug was in stuff. I can't tell you what, but like I knew his face. And then the other guy was in Madonna's Like a Prayer video, and I didn't know the other two. But having said that, I'm pretty sure I've seen them all in stuff since then. Not big, like, massive stuff. But when you see them, you're like, oh, yeah, some cool Runnings.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but if you think about it, Denzel, it was still very early, but he might have skewed things. Eddie Murphy definitely would have skewed things.
Oh, he would have, 100%. And the Tupac thing might have been a bit confusing because he was famous for something else. And that something else was being a rapper.
Oh, and you know there would have been a bit where they're about to launch the thing and his character would have definitely under his breath uttered something like, "All eyes on me." Or like a Jamaican take on a Tupac lyric that would have made everyone go,
"Oh, don't say that." The references. Oh, that's interesting. So John Candy was always going to be there.
Yeah.
It'd be funny, yeah. Oh, I feel like that would have made a completely different movie if those guys were all cast. Thank you so much for that fun fact.
You're welcome.
Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, yeah. So I'll be honest, I haven't watched a ton of fresh stuff this week. I've been continuing to watch a lot of Guy's Grocery Games. Whatever. I'm learning. I'm cooking new things. We talked about earlier. I did a grilled chicken that was pretty special. I've got a potato soup coming that's going to blow people's minds.
That sounds good.
All sorts of good stuff like that. But I waited until I had two episodes to watch of Ben and Jerry's Clash of the Cones.
I'm going to guess what this is about, if that's okay.
Please do.
All right. I'm going to guess that Ben and Jerry's have opened up this competition for wannabe ice cream recipe makers, I don't know what to call them, to come in with their new ideas, new recipes, and then at the end of every episode they're judged and one gets
picked. It's kind of that, but it's more upscale than that. It's six people that own their own ice creameries.
Oh, okay.
So six people who already make their own artisanal ice cream or gelato, sorbet, all that sort of stuff. Go to Vermont to the Ben & Jerry's headquarters and factory.
Sounds picturesque.
It's set up. It's all outside. So it's kind of Great British Bake Off, except they're not even in a tent. They're just outside.
Just outside, okay.
And it's like you've got you've got 3 hours. This is the flavor graveyard. Any discontinued flavor that they've done in the past ends up in the flavor graveyard. Hmm. And they had to go around there, walk around and pick one to bring back, but put their own twist on it and see if it's popular enough. That was the first episode. Oh, I forgot to mention, there's a celebrity that gives them the challenge each week. And the first episode was Kevin Bacon.
What?
And he said,
"That's so random."
It's so random, but he said, "Everyone's always about six degrees of Kevin Bacon, so I'm going to give you six flavors of things that I love. You don't have to use them all." Listed them off, and then he's like, "And no bacon."
Yeah, that's good. I'm down with that. I like that rule. I don't want bacon in my ice cream.
Turns out one of the ice cream makers is a rule breaker by trade, and so made candied bacon and sprinkled that as a garnish over the top of this ice cream that looked amazing, like maple ice cream with honey. It looked good. Mm. Wasn't the winning one. Oh. The winning one, Kevin Bacon was pretty damn chuffed about. I'm not going to say which one. Then the next week's episode, the special guest that they had was Ludacris.
You know what that is? That's
Ludacris. Someone even said that when they tasted a flavor out, because they make the thing. And then they all bundle into a couple of Ben and Jerry's vans and go pull up food cart style in the middle of Vermont with the people that live near the factory. So are ice cream experts come by and they judge it. So you got to win over the public. And then the one that wins there goes to the celebrity. And Ludacris cried at how good the ice cream was that was made for him.
Wow.
Kevin Bacon was almost in tears. And I think this is going to be an ongoing thing of someone being like, "Oh, I love ice cream. Here are my favorite things in an ice cream." And then just not quite comprehending that someone's about to make the best version of that thing they'll ever taste. Because they all, everyone goes, takes a scoop and their face drops and it's like they hear angels singing. Their eyes well up and they're like, is there more of this or have I only got this one?
Am I eating the only thing?
Is this the only one or can I get more? Ludacris is like, I will sign a contract right now that you can use my name, face, likeness, whatever, and sell this in stores if I can get more of this.
And his lawyer's running up saying, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. That's amazing. I mean, we've all cried about ice cream before, but it's usually because when we're a kid we've been told we're not allowed any, but not once we've had it that's so good.
It's got that feel of, it's not quite as sick. It's kind of got the feel a little bit of making it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that sort of real sweet vibe. They don't have an Amy and Nick kind of undercutting and making jokes. This is a lot more sickly sweet. Yeah. And like the
like
host
the ice cream.
The most effervescent woman I've ever seen. Oh, guys, tell me about what ice cream you're making. Oh, it sounds so goofy and sweet sort of thing. So there's a bit of Nicole Byer.
I was going to say. Byer
was straight-laced and not making jokes, not making, not being sarcastic.
Okay, that's a lot, but it sounds like it works.
It is a lot, but the people making stuff are just crazy. Like one, they've got a couple of hours and one goes, okay, I'm going to make my own honeycomb and then I'm going to crush that into oatmeal chunks. I'm making an oatmeal cookie. And because the whole deal is Ben & Jerry's always has a crunch element. It always has a swirl element. So it's not just an ice cream with things on top. You've got to bake a cookie and then crumble that through. Or if you're doing cookie dough, you might want to use liquid nitrogen to get it to a dough state to chuck in there. Or like, oh, man.
Jeez. Yeah, there's a lot of
good
cooking science going on in there as well.
Yes. So Clash of the Cones, I would strongly recommend. Next week's episode has Buddy and Duff, the bakers, the cooking guys.
Yeah, right.
And Ace of Cakes.
So they'll be judging.
Yes.
Cool.
And they've got to make cake-based ice cream stuff for them.
I just make a McDonald's ice cream cake. It's a classic. People love it.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Nah, this will be something wild.
Like a Viennetta.
Yeah. One of these guys, one of the chefs or ice cream artist, I don't know what you call them, his theme for one was about, Ben & Jerry's is always behind good causes and things, so I thought we should promote saving turtles. So he made tiny little turtles out of pecan shells and almond paste that he scattered through the ice cream. So as you bit into
it,
you found these tiny little turtles, but then also garnished a few on the top, like they were swimming and stuff.
That's very clever. Yeah, that's super clever.
Who comes up with that idea?
I don't know.
I get a bowl. Scoop it out of the punnet and bang it in the bowl. Last night I thought it was gourmet because I got a bloody fun-size flake. Oh, I smashed it up with a bit of hammer and then sprinkled that on top. That's me getting fancy.
That's way more fancy.
I did that in preparation to sit down and watch the show. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fix myself some ice cream.
Yeah, it sounds like the kind of show you cannot watch without eating ice cream as well. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to concentrate.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just going to need some ice cream.
I sat down and watched Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal and Greed.
Oh.
Within the first few minutes, you know what's going to happen. I was like, I'll watch a Bob Ross. Yeah, I'll watch a Bob Ross documentary. Come on, that's it. He's always nice and happy and just positive. Always make you feel good when you watch it. So I sat down and watched it, and then within the first 90 seconds, his son says something like, yeah, he was a really nice guy, but a lot of what you're going to hear during this is stuff that has never been told. People are afraid to come onto this documentary and be interviewed because they don't want to get a lawsuit. And I was like, wait, what? And it's the story not necessarily of all of Bob Ross's life, although they did kind of talk about what he did beforehand, because he was in the army, but it was more about the fact that he had this passion for painting. So he did leave the military to become like an art painting teacher, and then he got involved in TV shows and whatnot. And we know the show, we know it really well. The Joy of Painting,
Joy of Painting, Happy Little Clouds, Happy Little Trees,
Happy Little Accidents.
beat up that brush like it owes you money.
His son did kind of talk about the fact that maybe beating that brush up was not great for his lungs, because he passed away of I don't think it was lymphoma technically, but you know it was around there, and he was quite young when he passed away. He was only like 58 or something, like a young bloke, and his son and half brother have nothing to do with and get no sort of money at all from the Bob Ross Incorporation or Incorporated or whatever it is, which is owned by his old business partner, which is a husband and wife team. Yeah, I knew nothing of this, but the doco definitely indicates a bit of dodgy stuff was happening. There was possible affairs going on. Oh, it was a bit of everything. And whilst, you know, Bob Ross was not there to be able to talk about himself, you definitely still went away from watching this documentary going, Bob Ross was a really nice guy. Really nice guy.
I don't think they could tarnish his image. Like, if there was anything dark there, it would have come out. I've read bits and pieces in the past about the I'll say what sounds like a very difficult situation.
Yeah, very difficult.
Of a lot of people wanting their part of the pie. People claiming things that aren't necessarily theirs and stuff.
But yeah.
Yeah. Man, he just seemed like a good guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd seen some real dark shit. And that's what led him to focus on the joy.
Focus on the joy, and his joy was painting. And for a while there, they had like this authorized Bob Ross how to be an art teacher like Bob Ross class, like school, and people would not only just go and like paint, but they would learn to teach people to paint like Bob Ross. Crazy, just crazy. How big he was. It was on Netflix if you want to check it out. It was interesting. Yeah,
nice.
Did you watch The Walking Dead, Tom?
I did.
I thought you might have.
Do you want to know something that was crazy?
I'm sitting down, so yeah, I can take this.
I quite liked that episode.
Can I guess why?
It's been a while to lay out a few things. I've actually written a bit of a grocery list
of
some things that I thought were good. You have a punt first. Why do you think I enjoyed it?
I think you enjoyed it because it was claustrophobic and for me, I kept thinking, this feels like a video game. This feels like those really stressful parts in video games where you're like, this is the only way through. How on earth am I going to get out of this?
It felt very video gamey. Claustrophobic is great. There were parts that reminded me of Train to Busan.
Yeah.
There was parts that reminded me of Old Boy.
Wait, what's Old Boy?
The shot when Daryl, the shot from outside the train when Daryl's fighting his way down, shooting the guns, then the guns run out and he grabs the knives and that sort of stuff. So Old Boy is the story of the guy that gets kidnapped and he's, you know, he's held in, I can't even, 10 years or something like that, maybe even longer. And then one day he's just released and he battles his way the fuck out.
Jeez.
Murders many people, goes on a big rampage. That was part of it. Here's my list of things that I wrote down for this episode. One, Buddy Negan didn't come back.
I was so surprised.
I was sure that he was.
He was like, Buggy, really you.
Well. Eugene got a big speech. You know, I love a bit of Eugene.
Yeah.
And that speech was pretty good. And there was lies peppered in there.
But yes.
He plowed through. He decorated it with enough truth that he was good. It was hardcore watching that guy through the window.
Maggie did not blink. She's like, I'm watching this.
But
full on.
The point of all of that, so we've seen at the beginning of the episode that Negan left her. Everyone's like, oh, Negan, you're such a bad guy. And then Maggie did the exact same thing and no one said anything to her about it. And then she told a story of why she's so messed up. And I think she's worse than Negan.
I think she is too.
In terms of cold.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, she's changed a lot, even though I think she had changed a fair bit between Negan baseballing Glenn and when she left. I think she'd changed a lot in that time anyway, but she's just gotten worse.
That story Maggie told, that's probably the worst thing that Walking Dead's ever done.
So was that in a comic book? Sorry, was that in the comics? I thought it was. No.
That feels like the writer's room sat around and dared each other to come up with the worst thing they could possibly imagine. What's something that belongs in the human centipede or something like that?
Yeah.
I thought it was a tad far. It was good. Like, it was ballsy that they went that far. But my number one thing – oh, no, sorry. Number two thing was I was waiting a long time for that grenade to come off – to go off. But, you know, once Daryl got handed that grenade – earlier in the episode, you're like, well, that's going to go off sometime. And when it did, it was very satisfying. Mm. But my number one moment of the episode was when Alden said, that's a hot take.
That's right.
I made a note of that because
that's a hot take.
I'm pretty sure the zombie apocalypse happened in the show's world in around 2008, 2009. Hot take was not a thing.
Isn't that funny? I picked up on the same thing. Yeah. I thought, hashtag, that's not a thing. Yeah, that's hilarious.
I think he was saying that to Gabriel, being like, no, it's a good – we can't let the guy through, you know, sorry.
Sorry.
It's a hot take. Yeah, like, that's a hot take. It completely pulled me out of the episode, and I was so happy that it did. I was really here for it. As I say, it's been a while since I've had a Walking Dead episode that I genuinely enjoyed, and I'm not expecting that next week we'll continue that streak. It was a different setting. It was a different vibe. It feels like we're building to somewhere. The action's been great so far in the season, these two episodes. They keep this going, and some of the more silly stuff that we're getting, like the guy getting ripped apart from behind.
Yeah, I know, right? That was full on.
Give us some more over-the-top stuff like that for her final season. I'm here for it.
Can you just remind me where Carol was? I couldn't remember.
I believe she stayed behind for some reason or other.
Yeah,
she said that she wasn't going. Didn't she just think it was a suicide mission or something?
Yeah,
she
maybe it's something like that.
Provoke anyone else?
Yeah, because there were times in that episode where I thought, Carol's not here, is she? Because it's about this time where she would decide to do something that nobody else wants to do and it would go horribly wrong for someone else, not Carol.
Yep.
And maybe that's why it was a good episode, because it wasn't that usual thing that happens.
The only thing that didn't surprise – well, the two things that didn't surprise me in the episode, one was that grenade going off.
Yeah.
Two was that guy that got hurt and Daryl was trying to help that we've never really seen.
Yeah,
too
I was
much
like, who
before,
is this bloke? Yeah.
Going to die horribly by the end. And sure enough.
He got it.
He took an arrow to the face, not the knee.
No, not the knee. It was a little Denise-y, I thought.
Just
a little bit.
Denise, there's someone we haven't thought of in a long time.
It was the arrow. It was the arrow bit that got me. I'm excited to see how these guys go with the masked baddies.
Yes, these Reavers. They're not from the comics, but I think they're just going to be ex-military.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
We haven't seen too many.
We haven't seen an ex-military group for a while.
Mm-mm. And there's no Rick to ruin them.
No, but the stuff that's happening with the Commonwealth, I'm enjoying where that's progressing too. I think maybe next week they'll start walking in there. Yumiko's gone. Like, that's her if her brother's there, that's it. Like, it's great.
And
this
she's
a very good thing.
She's loving talking about being a lawyer again and stuff, and that the Commonwealth is somewhere where you could be a lawyer again. So,
well, in the comics, her storyline is Michonne.
Okay.
Michonne's daughter is part of the Commonwealth, and so it was a picture of Michonne that was stuck up on the wall that she sees and stuff. Michonne used to be a lawyer.
And Michonne was a lawyer in the show as well, I think. Wasn't? Yeah, okay. I had to double check. So at this point in time, we've got those people at the Commonwealth. We've got Rick, potentially.
Somewhere.
We've got, what's her name? Polly McIntosh, whatever her character's name is. I always forget. Jada?
Alpha.
Jadis, yeah, she's potentially there as well as Michonne following them. She was following a big Commonwealth group. So, all coming to a conclusion. I think I like that. I think I like that. There's a definitive end to this, so everything now matters more.
It was the best thing that ever happened to Lost. There's been a couple of shows that once they knew when they were going to end,
yeah,
it gave them a creative shot in the arm. It feels like that might be happening here. It's very exciting.
Yeah, there's purpose. There's purpose. Cool. All right. Well, we will watch more stuff next week. We've also
got- I have a feeling next week we might want to talk about What If. We haven't talked about it for
been
a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been a few episodes, so check in halfway through the season and see how we both feel about it. But now it's time for the quiz. That's good. I was inspired by Expendables, or should I say Expendables 4. So I've found movie I've found the synopsis of other action movies.
Yes.
Very well known one, so it's not going to be like difficult. So it can be from 1945 movie that somebody reckons as the first action movie featuring something or other. They're well known ones.
No Rock Hudson's
in his first action hero movie. No. All right, here we go. Following the death of his father, young Danny takes comfort in watching action movies featuring indestructible Los Angeles cop Jack Slater. After being given the magic trick, yes?
Do I just chime in?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, it's Last Action Hero.
It is Last Action Hero.
I love that movie. And it holds up really well.
Does it? I haven't seen it for years.
It's still good fun today.
I have been doing a bit of watching of old movies that I know I've seen but don't remember the storyline. So this might be one that I should add to that list because they feel good.
It's a lot sillier than you remember.
Jack and John are such action hero movie character names, aren't they? Like you think about, we did that quiz a while ago about Keanu Reeves and all his characters' names, and they're all Jack and John pretty much. And then you got Arnold there.
It's a shortcut because Jack is the burly everyman name you give to a man that wears tartan and carries an axe. John is the name of someone who follows in the footsteps of the Savior, so he's a godly, saintly man.
So that was Jack, not John then. For this movie. All right, let's see how the others go then. The US government operative, I'm not going to say the name, and his mentor go on a covert assignment that takes a disastrous turn.
Mission
His mentor,
Impossible?
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is the main story. Yeah, that's right.
John Voight.
Yeah, he gets killed and, yeah. Ethan becomes
but
the
does
prime.
He?
Oh, I know. It's just, and then he falls from the ceiling, and
too many masks.
So many masks that are going on. Was it the second?
Mission Impossible 1 and 2 are fine. 3 is where it starts to get good, but 4 onwards, those movies are great.
How many are we up to now?
And they're filming 7 and 8 back to back, I think.
Which was the one that started with Tom Cruise doing some mountain climbing, like rock climbing?
I think that's 2.
Yeah.
That's the one that was filmed in Australia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. That was stressful because it was him, I think. If not, they made it look like it was him. And it's like, oh, my gosh, he's dangling off the end of nothing.
It's him. He doesn't do stunt actors for those.
It was highly stressful. I mean, I know he's fine because the movie's like 20 years old, but it was very stressful. Here we go. The story of a man salvaged near death from the ocean by an Italian fishing boat. When he recuperates, the man suffers from total amnesia without identity or background except for a range of extraordinary talents in fighting, linguistic skills, and self-defense that speak of a dangerous past. It's making me think I need to watch this movie again because it is so much fun.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, exactly. So much fun, particularly that first one, just because I really like the idea of him having all of these abilities and knowing stuff but not knowing anything about himself. That was a great storyline.
Did you ever see that movie American Ultra? It was a piss take of that sort of thing.
I don't
it was
think
written
so.
By Max Landis, who is now persona non grata. But it's Jesse Eisenberg as a supermarket stoner employee who gets attacked by assassins and unwittingly kills them all. And then it turns out that he was like, he's a deep undercover, like Manchurian candidate style. He's been brainwashed to not know that he was one of the CIA's top operatives.
Wow. Is it good?
It's a no.
Yeah, because it sounds like it could be either way. But the fact that I don't know this movie makes me think it's not great.
Thinks it's a lot cleverer than it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I see what you mean.
It's Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. So. I'm not predisposed to love that combo.
I saw the Spencer trailer, you know, for the Princess Diana thing that Kristen Stewart's doing. Because I was just kind of intrigued to see if she acts like Princess Diana. Because I'm like, cause to me, when I think of Kristen Stewart, I don't think, she's perfect for Princess Diana. She just looked like Kristen Stewart. But there wasn't a lot of speaking, so maybe the way she acts while speaking is more Princess Diana. But having said that, I don't think I know how Princess Diana speaks anymore. It's been a long time. Vietnam veteran.
Rambo.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think you need any more. Yeah, because his name was John. That character's name was John. Yeah.
He's on a righteous mission.
Yeah, taking that, the first one. You know what? I saw the second one before I saw the first. And the second one still was lots of fun.
I did the same with Terminator. I did the same with Aliens. Aliens is so much better than Alien. Hot take, don't care.
Yeah, but there's so much discussion around there are two different sorts of people.
Oh, yeah, and they can
it's Alien or Aliens, films. Yeah. You're going to like one or the other more. You're not going to be like, oh, I like both of them exactly the same. And it basically because it's offering so – they're so different. They're so different.
Do you want whimpering
yes,
Ian
I do.
Hurt?
Yeah, I love
is,
that.
Is Ian Hurt? Or do you want whimpering Bill Paxton?
Bill Paxton, thanks.
Yes, every time.
New York policeman is visiting his estranged...
Die Hard.
Yes. His name's John as well.
Sorry. I shouldn't cut you off this.
No. I'm pausing. Because it was, you know, if I say any more, because it says, and two daughters on Christmas Eve, what else is that going to be? It can be anything else. It can't be any other movie.
Well, it... could technically be Lethal Weapon because Lethal Weapon's at Christmas, but it's not New York.
I was so close to putting in Lethal Weapon 2 and then I thought, oh, it's a bit difficult. I didn't do that to you. I was like, that's difficult.
I want to watch those movies again. I love those movies.
I think know what? I think the second one I watched first of the Lethal Weapon movies as well. Now that I'm trying to recall. Yeah.
I watched the third one first, Maximum Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that was a fun movie as well. He really did bring something extra to that.
Yeah.
It gave something extra that was good instead of, oh, God, tell him to shut up. Never tell Joe Pesci to shut up. Why would you? This is the final
one. You got to have someone more tiresome than, like, I love Riggs. But his whole thing can be quite tiresome. So you put someone who's more tiresome around than him, all of a sudden he looks better.
I like that. Okay, this is the final one. After a string of bizarre bank robberies in Southern California, with crooks donning masks. That's right, former presidents. That was one of the Keanu Reeves movies where he is a Johnny. Not a Johnny.
Sure, he is Johnny, yes.
He's a Johnny. That's Point Break, of course, we're talking about, just in case you were not there. Do you remember?
Is that Johnny the same as Johnny? Is he in Johnny Mnemonic or is that Johnny Depp?
No, he's Johnny Mnemonic. Yeah. Patrick same Swayze Johnny. Is Bodie, which is, I think, one of the most surfy names you can possibly give a character. Bodie. Yeah.
Bodacious.
Well done. You got every single one of those.
Oh, wonderful. That was good fun. I like that. It was in my wheelhouse.
I really love synopsis quizzes as well. Like, they're good because I just keep reading them until you get them and I never get through all of them. It's great. It's good fun.
It's good fun.
Okay, so this Friday we're going back to the lunchtime quiz.
Yes, nice.
Which is good. We had a lot of fun on Friday night.
I got very drunk.
How did you feel the next day? Were you okay?
Pretty rough.
Oh, no, that's annoying.
I drank a lot of straight spirits.
Yeah, you were mixing straight spirits with straight spirits at one point. Well, you don't. You can just drink water or a soft drink or something for the lunchtime quiz. It'll be so much better. You'll
Thanks.
Love yourself
I'll,
sick.
Yes.
Not be sick. And next week we're going to try and have a special guest on the podcast, so that'll be really good.
Ooh, what a tease.
What a tease. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
I kill me.